see everybody out this morning. I'd like to thank Jeff and the elders for asking me to do this morning. It's a good thing for me. It makes me have to dive in and study more and prepare this. I know I get a lot more out of preparing this than y'all will probably get from me, which I think anybody that's got up and taught class or anything like that will tell you the same thing. The teacher usually gets more out of it than the students do because they're having to prepare for all the different questions, all the different things. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the two paths. Most people are good, and good people go to heaven. It's a common belief that many, if not most, of our society today has. Even those who have a general understanding of the gospel believe this in the world. Talk of judgment and inclusivity can be uncomfortable, which leads many people to simply believe that only the worst of the worst will be judged after death. We all believe that that is not true. Everyone will be judged. While this way of thinking is popular, it is not consistent with the teaching of the Bible. In Matthew 7:13 and 14, Jesus teaches that there are, in fact, two paths within two different destinations, one leading to eternal life and one is leading to eternal destruction. Jesus says that the path to destruction is wide and easy and well-traveled, while the path to life is narrow and hard and less traveled. As we're going through this, I want us to think about also the Sermon on the Mount and what all Jesus talked to and talked about throughout that. But at the end of it, there's a four-part conclusion. You can break it down into four different parts. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he has been teaching us what it looks like to live as citizens of the kingdom of God. But as he brought us the sermon to a close, focuses slightly, and he ends the sermon with a four-part conclusion about entering into the kingdom of God. His conclusion is made up of four parts, and each part reveals a contrast. First, he speaks of two different paths, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And then two different kinds of fruit, 7:15 through 20. Third, he addresses two different professions of faith, 7:21 through 23. Followed by two different kinds of builders who build on different foundations, 7:24 through 27. While each one of these contrasts emphasizes something slightly different, they all tell us something about the entrance of the kingdom of God, who will be welcome and who will be excluded. The call. I titled it The Call. It is in Matthew 17:13. He tells us to enter by the narrow gate. What is the narrow gate? We'll get into that a little bit later on that. Graph, Jesus emphasizes that there are two paths and only two paths. For every person will enter, will either take the path towards destruction or the path towards life. Jesus begins this important discussion with the call, enter by the narrow gate. This is the call from Jesus to enter the gate and follow the path that leads to life. The first path, the wide gate. A wide gate. This is the entrance that everyone sees and most people choose. The easy one. You got a wide, nice wide opening door here. You got a nice skinny door over here. Which one most people are going to choose to go through? Nice wide one. It's easy to get through, easy to go. Most likely there's a lot of people going through it. This one over here, only one person just kind of squeeze through. Not many people are going to try to go through that one. I think that's just something that we all agree with. It's human nature to take the easy way, the easy path. You always try to find the easiest way to do something. That leads us to the second point, an easy way. The wide gate leads to the easy path. It's not to say that life, if you go down that path, that life is going to be easy. Stopping and smelling the roses along the way. You've got everything you're ever going to need. All the money that you ever want. The big house you want. The car you want. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means it's easy as it doesn't take its path that does not take the required repentance, self-denial, sacrifice, or suffering in the way that the other path does. And I think that's why a lot of people take that path, is because they don't want to look in that mirror and see that they are wrong. They are in the wrong. And that's a hard thing for a lot of us to get over. I know that's one of the big hurdles for someone to become a Christian, is to know that I'm wrong. I did this. I put him there. I put him on that cross. And you're having to turn from that. Repentance, I've always heard it say, is doing an about face. Turn away and go the other direction from that. And a lot of the world, they don't want to do that. They don't want to acknowledge that they are wrong. They've done this. They've done that. I have to sacrifice going to the bar with my friends now. But that's the time I get to hang out with all my buddies, or going to this football game, or going to this, doing this. They don't want to have it. Most people don't want to do it. That's why they choose to go on that nice, wide, easy path. They get plenty of room. They can do what they want to do. They don't have to worry about anything. A well-traveled way. Jesus says that most will enter through this gate. We all have been on this path. Or still are. Many will never leave this path. That first statement there, all of us have been on this path. That one, I was reading through here, reading some commentaries and going through some other outlines on a sermon similar to this, and he made that point. Now, that's a really good point. We've all been on that path. We've all been on that wide, easy path. You became a Christian, you've gotten off that path. But we've all been there. We all know the struggles and the ease of being on that path, and we've seen the error of that way. And I hope that we can all remember how. I know that the night before I was baptized, it was hard for me to sleep. I probably should have got up that night and called and said, hey, let's go. But I waited, went to work, and then after work, I went and got baptized after that. That night before, it was hard to sleep. So I knew I was going down the wrong path. I knew this was not going to end well for me. Many people will never leave it. Unfortunately, Jesus tells us right here, many people will never leave that path. And that is a big thing for us to remember as we go throughout this, trying to pull people from that path. Jesus tells us sometimes you're casting pearls before a swine. Sometimes you just got to know, okay, this person, this is what they want to do, this is what they do, this is how they have their mind set up. And unfortunately, Jesus tells us there's going to be those people that they have chosen that path and they are bullheaded, they are going that way no matter what they want. Whatever you say, how much you talk to them, they're going down that path. Leads to destruction. This is where we recognize the weight of the teaching from Jesus. This is the path that most are following, and yet it's a path that leads to eternal destruction. While we may not like to think about this kind of judgment, the Bible is clear. This is eternal judgment for all who die apart from Christ. The heart's on that. They don't get off that path. When they die, it tells us right there, that's a hard pill to swallow. Some people can swallow it and be okay with it and they keep going. I don't see how they can do that. Knowing that if I die going down that path, that I'd be cut off from God and Jesus for eternity. I just don't understand how people can be okay with that and keep doing that. And I think a lot of people aren't okay with that. They just might not know or might not have that last little kick to get them going in the right way. I know that was me. I got hit when I decided there was a lesson on Wednesday night. Right after that, Bill Hall called me. Right after that, I went to Moe. My chief Hall had asked me about it. It was just bam, 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 bam. Just those subtle kicks to get me going in that right direction. And it all clicked. I've got to do something. I've got to get off this path. I think a lot of us can do that. And it leads to destruction. And that is just unnerving to me that people are willingly, as we like to say, they got the pedal to the metal and they're just driving down the path and not a care in the world. They don't think anything about it. Don't do anything about that. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 41, as section read for us, it tells us that Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goat, and that he will be judged, and that he will separate them. And it says, "Depart from me, I did not know you." How big of a gut punch must that be? Forgot for Jesus to tell you, "Depart from me, I do not know you." That would be one of the worst things to hear ever. To me, that is the worst thing ever to hear. Just depart from me, I do not know you. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 2. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." Which you walked following the course of the world. God tells us it's not good to follow the world's view on things. He wants us to follow His view. I know it's easy. I know all of us were in school, all of us were in high school. It's easy to follow the crowd, do what everybody's doing, do what the popular kids are doing. That's what everybody sees. You see it in all these movies. The popular kids, everybody's looking at them. Look at what they're doing. They're doing the star on the football team, basketball team, the head cheerleader, whatever it might be. Everybody's always looking towards Him. You don't have to do that. You have your own path that you can take. I hope that we can all look at this path and know that it is a bad path to be on. It's not the path you want to stay on if you are on it. If you were on it when you've gotten off of it, how much joy you have that you're no longer on that path and that you're going, moving on to the second path and going down it. The second path, the narrow gate, Matthew 7:14. First point, a narrow gate. What we learn from the scripture is that the narrow gate is Christ Himself. It is only through Christ and His work on the cross that we can be forgiven and welcomed onto the path towards life. Only one door to get to that gate. One path to get to that gate and to continue on that path. And that tells us right there, it is through Him to make it through that path. That is a big thing for us to remember, that there is only one way. That is through Jesus. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No other comes to the Father except through me." It's pretty clear right there. I am the way. The only way you can get to heaven is through me. Through my blood is the only way you can get to heaven. Unfortunately, there's people in the world that will argue that there's other ways to have a relationship with God and stuff. I used to work with a guy, talked to him. He straight up told me, he goes, "I don't have to go to church. I have other ways that I can have a connection with God and feel comfortable with myself." And I tried to talk to him, but that was his stance, and he didn't want to talk about it anymore. To this day, it still baffles me that he can argue against that verse right there. Jesus said Himself, "I am the way." In Acts 4, verses 10 through 12, "Let it be known that all of you and all the people of Israel, that by my name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved." Again, Christ is that cornerstone that the entire church and everything was built upon. That cross that they crucified Him on set up that path for us. It's a horrible time to think about that He was put on that cross and was hung there, what all He went through, and we focused back on it this morning before I got up here. But He did all that to open that gate for us. If He would not have done that, that gate would still be shut, and we'd be stuck trying to figure out how we can get there. Or we probably wouldn't even be here if that never would have happened. It wouldn't happen. There's really no point in seeing it. But we all believe that happened and that we can start our path down that gate through for all students and teachers. The hard way, the path that leads to life, is a way of repentance, self-denial, and sacrifice, and suffering. That's a big one for a lot of, again, a lot of people don't want to sacrifice a lot of things they have to sacrifice to become a Christian. There's a lot of things you'll have to give up, a lot of things you have to do. We'll look at a few verses where Jesus is telling people to sell all your belongings and follow me and go through all that. And there was a lot of people that didn't do it. Even back then, they would, I can't do that. And it's a hard thing, even in today's world. He's not calling us to sell our house and give up everything we have and go follow him. But he is. In a spiritual sense, you are giving up a lot of this worldly pleasures and stuff that you want to go and do. You're having to give that stuff up. It might not be your house, your car, all your belongings. There might be some stuff you might need to get rid of. But you're making the sacrifices to go on this path. In Matthew 16, 24 through 26, then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone of you will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life and lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" It tells us right there, we can have everything in this world. Anything your heart desires. You got it. What does that profit you? Can't take it with you. Does you no good here. Or it does you plenty of good here, but does you no good in heaven. And I know plenty of Christians that have wealth that they need, more wealth than they need, really. But they know that is not what is saving their soul. They know that it's not good for me to profit all this stuff and then, oh, look at what I did. Look at what I've accomplished. They've gotten all that stuff, and they give the thanks to God. God gave them that. God has given them this stuff. And that is one thing for a lot of us in this world. Greed is one of the biggest sins that everyone deals with. Oh, they got a new car. You're just going on and on about that. I need this. I need that. God has given us everything we need. And he has told us that he will give us all that we need if we forsake ourselves, deny ourselves, and follow him. He will help us through this life. I'm not saying that it's going to be the easy path. He tells us right there, it is the hard way. Because the world is against you when you go down that path. As soon as you go down that path, the devil starts sending arrows at you. Starts sending them from left, right, front, back. You're getting hit from all sides. But he tells you to keep going down that path. Even though it's hard, you can't lose focus. I think about it. Many of us have probably done it in our lifetime. Some of us have probably done it a little sooner than others. Walking down the balance beam. You have to stay focused on it. Some people can probably do it without having to focus really hard. I'm not one of those. I'm a little clutchy when it comes to stuff like that. But as soon as you lose focus on on that path that you're walking, you're going to fall off of it. It's the same way with this narrow path. You've got this walking right down this aisle. You've got that spot to walk through. You lose your, you start looking back this way, you're going to walk into a pew. You start looking that way, you're going to walk into those pews. God tells us that we have to keep going down that hard path, even though it's hard, and keep our focus ahead of us. There's light at the end of the tunnel, as we like to say. And you've got to stay focused on that light and keep going throughout this life. We've been told it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And a lot of us are a lot farther along in that marathon than others. And that's a good thing. We've seen the trials and tribulations that y'all had to go through. And that's uplifting to us to know that y'all made it through that. We can keep going right behind you. We're coming behind you. And keep going. Suffering. John 15. through 21. Remember the world that I say to you. A servant is no greater than its master. If they persecute me, then they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent you. He tells us right there, they're going to persecute you. They're going to call you. You go to church Sunday and Wednesday. Why do you do that? Give you a hard time about that. Just come to this fall game. You can come play this on Wednesday night. You can come do this on Wednesday night. No, I got church. I got to go to church. It's not that I have to go to church. I get to go to church. That is a big thing that we need to remember. And he tells us right there, they are going to persecute you. But it's not you. It is him that they're persecuting. And you got to remember that we have Jesus to lean on. That he is going to be with us. He's taking those arrows. We can take a few too. We can keep going. But when we've taken one too many, we can lean upon him, ask him to help us do it, and he'll grab our hand, and we can walk in his footsteps and just follow him right along that path and know that he's never not by our side as long as we're on that path. A less traveled way. Because the narrow way is hard. There are few who will find it and follow this path. Most will not choose to humbly repent and submit to the following of Christ. Submit. To go down this path, you have to submit to his will. In what he wants you to do. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people to do. Many of you have known me since I was young. I was a stubborn kid. I still can be stubborn. And that was a hard thing for me to do. Is when I had something in my mind that I wanted to do, I was going to do it. I'll take the spanking afterwards. Was that the right thing to do? No. I've learned to be able to submit and know that someone else is right. I probably shouldn't do this. That's been a hard thing for me to overcome and do. But God tells us we have to submit and follow him. No matter if we think, oh, well, just going and doing this, that's not encouraging thing. Just one time. God says, no, do this. Follow me. I am the way. Matthew 22. In verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. it doesn't matter as the world sees it, the lowest of lows, the ones that have murdered hundreds of people or even one person or the person that has told one white lie. You haven't repented of that and turned from that. It doesn't matter what, as in the eyes of humans, we call them minor sins or major sins. They're all sin. It doesn't matter what it is. God tells us to turn from it and follow Him. And unfortunately, there's only a few people that choose to do that and turn from that. Leads to life. While the way is narrow and hard, the end of this path is eternal life. This reality should motivate us to follow Christ and compel us to tell others about their need to trust Him. It's a big thing. That should compel you to follow Him, knowing that one path is destruction, other path is eternal life. You go to elementary school and you ask people, hey, you go this way, you're going to die. You go this way, you can live. Most of those kids are going to say, we're going to go that way. It's not a hard thing to do. It's not a hard thing to understand. I read one time, the basic understanding of what you need to do to be saved in the Bible is written on a fifth grade reading level. It is simple. It's clear. There's no gray area on what you have to do to be saved and go down this path. It is very, very easy to figure out. And it tells you right here, follow me. Which path are you? Are you on the wide, the easy path? Or are you on the narrow and the hard path? The narrow and hard path, there's gold, there's mansions. All this stuff is waiting for you when you get through that. We sing a song. And it says in there, may this journey bring a blessing to you. It tells us we might be going through some hard times and all this stuff, but going through all that and giving the glory to God once you get through all that is giving a blessing to Him. He's thanking us for doing that. We need to remember to give Him thanks to help us through that narrow way. You're not on that narrow path. What's keeping you on that wide path? Is it not wanting to deny yourself? Not wanting to repent? Not wanting to think about all the things that you've done and having to face the consequences of them? If you stay on that path, you're going to have to face the consequences of all that stuff. You come off that path, you can be forgiven all those sins and not have to face the consequences of eternal death of those. I hope that you can jump to the straight and narrow path and keep going and go and run this race and be with Jesus in heaven. He tells us real clearly how to get on that path. Repent, believe, obey, be baptized. Real simple. You've got to do what He tells you to do and go. He tells us to go throughout this world, but don't be of the world. If you're not on that path, or you've been on the narrow path and have strayed from it, this morning and get back on that path. Or get on that path for the first time. And let's all get on that path together. And let's go one behind the others. Let's go. We can all be in heaven together. Real simple. Please come.